And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We've switched studios here now as we continue our series of local election debates. This is debate two, and I suppose it's sort of part one of Buncrana. There are 12 candidates contesting five seats. It's another, and it's going to be another hotly contested constituency, no doubt about that, electoral area. We're having that debate just a little off air, so I think they're interchangeable. So what we'll do is we'll introduce our panel today and invite them also to take a minute or so, preferably a minute, just to sort of set the stall out before we get into the debate itself. Now, if you want to get involved in the conversation, please WhatsApp or text us on 086 60 25000 or give us a call on 07491 25000. And if you want to watch our candidates debate, get onto our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. We're on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and also on the X platform. So I'm actually just going to go down the list of people as they've been written down here in front of me. And we'll hear first from Fionnán Bradley of Fianna Fáil. Good morning to you. Thank you for calling down. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think people should vote for you.
Hi, Greg, and first of all, thank you for the opportunity to take part in this debate and just to welcome all my fellow candidates. So for anybody who doesn't know me, Fionnán Bradley is my name. I'm 30 years old. I was born, reared, have lived and worked in Buncrana all of my life, and I'm happily married there now with one son. So why should you vote for me? I have a track record, I suppose, of community and voluntary involvement. I'm involved in the St. Vincent de Paul, the GAA, the Initial Development Partnership, with theatre and drama societies, the Buncrana Pantomime Society and Innis Theatre Group. And anything that goes on in Buncrana, you'll usually find me there at the heart of it. So anybody who knows me and anybody who's worked with me will know that I'm a doer, very much a doer. I'm a man of action and I like working.
We'll hear more and learn an awful lot more about you over the course of the next hour and 45 minutes. Jack Murray, Sinn Féin, looking to hold on to his seat, of course, Jack.
Yep, thank you, Greg. Jack Murray, I'm a Sinn Féin councillor and have been for the last 13 years. I was co-opted on back in 2011 to replace Paddy McLaughlin upon his election to the Dáil. I'll be asking people to vote for me based on my track record. I sincerely believe that I've worked extremely hard whenever called upon. But there's more that I want to do and there's more that I want to work on. I want to work to ensure there's more housing in Buncrana in all its forms, social, affordable, rental, houses to buy, and of course to continue to campaign to get our houses rebuilt that are they're crumbling due to defective blocks. I also want to continue to campaign for a new school built for Scullyscon, and of course the three school campuses being Crana College, Clash of Kilnone and Gilscoil, Buncrana. But I'm also fighting this as one of 18 Sinn Féin candidates across County Donegal, and I think we're putting forward a very strong team. I think we're on the precipice of a historic, potentially historic general election. And I think that Sinn Féin can lead the next government. So I want a very, very strong Sinn Féin team in Donegal working with a Sinn Féin government, which could include Paddy McLaughlin as whip, Piers Doherty as Minister for Finance, Owen O'Brien as Minister for Housing. And I think working at that level, we can undo much of the neglect that this part of the world in this county has endured for the best part of a century.
All right, thanks for that. Liam Mulligan, welcome. Liam Mulligan standing for the AIM2 party.
Thank you, Greg. I'm standing for AIM2 in the thing to give people a chance to vote for an opposition party rather than a government or non-government party. There are various aspects of the council activities, a very important aspect, which is generally well covered by the local councillors, is the day-to-day stuff of trying to push for the local area to deal with local problems, intercession with the bureaucracy where the bureaucracy is not working. Very important part of the job. But the other parts are the structural issues of what the council is allowed to do, what the councillors can do, and we need to work to change away from the control by the bureaucracy, where, as Leo Varadkar more or less told me, Mayo County Council, you're only a branch office of the central departments in Dublin. We need more subsidiarity, more control in the council. And we also need to consider the national input to this. This is very important nationally as well. We consider the 2019 elections when Sinn Féin were hammered in the local elections. And then in the 2020 general election, we got the most generous manifesto since the Fianna Fáil manifesto of 1977, with absolutely not enough TDs to actually deliver on it. so potential TDs. So it is important nationally. We have to work the structure, and we do have at the same time to do what the councillors do well, the local stuff. It all has to be brought together.
Okay, we're joined also to, thank you very much, by the way, sorry. We're also joined by Kim McMenamin, beg your pardon, who's an independent. And Kim, you're an independent, but is it under sort of like an umbrella of the Irish People Party? Before, I'm going to allow, this is not to eat into your time, it's just to understand, Kim.
Yeah, there's a party registered, but it's for independents, people who would normally be independents, but now they have an opportunity to access a party, but there's no party whip, so we're totally independent within that. So in effect, technically we're independents and technically we're a party, kind of a bit of both. It's something new, it's something that has never been done before.
Well, you can be a part of a party, just for the listeners, you can be a part of a party, but also declare as an independent. So just to save anyone texting in, I wanted to be clear in all of that. So Kim, now to your time, sorry.
So we have 50 candidates, roughly 50 candidates throughout the country, and it's a new thing. It hasn't been done before, and we're hoping that it's going to be successful.
So why should people vote for you, Kim?
Simply because we feel the government has gone rogue and on the issue of immigration, housing. There's so many issues, but those are the main ones that we're finding on the door when we knock on the doors. People saying immigration, housing, immigration. It's like two sides of the one coin. So we're trying to unflip that coin and find out what are the main reasons why we have a housing crisis and what are the main reasons why immigration is out of control. Over 79% of Irish people believe it's the government have lost control of immigration. It's just too much. People have had enough. People are feeling that Ireland is full and that we need to stop and control things a bit more so that we can house the Irish and get our own people sorted out first. First and foremost, because our people have to leave because there's no housing. They've got to leave this country. They're going to Australia. Simply, there is work. They're going because there's no houses. And there's no rentals, there's no council houses, they just have to go. But all the while they're bringing in loads of people from countries that are designated safe countries, that they actually shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. They're not fleeing war, that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll dig into that as part of the debate as well. Eamon McGee, independent. Eamon?
Thanks very much for having me on your show.
It's good to have you with us.
My name's Eamon McGee, I'm originally from Strabane. I'm a window cleaner locally here in Letterkenny and Newton Conyngham and Carrigans, them areas. My family are from Carrigans and Portall. I'm an independent defect the block campaigner, and I believe the political way is the only way that we're actually going to get success, to get compensation. Also, I'm a nationalist, and I think that our country's taking on too many people. Our young people haven't got an opportunity even to start a family. But people can come in from all over the world, from safe countries, be unvetted. We're letting them into our communities. We know nothing about them. And people are terrified. We see scenes in Dublin where children are getting walked to school. We've seen all the different things happening in our communities all over Ireland. People being murdered. Our rapes are up 1,000%.
That's just fundamentally not true. It just is really, really important. I think that we base this on facts, and I really don't want to interpret rapes aren't up 1,000%.
At the end of the day, our government have a duty of care to protect all our citizens. Our government have a duty of care for all the services that we're facing, but we're put at the back of the queue, and this needs to change because at the end of the day, it's our ancestors that built this nation, and I'm encouraging people to give me the first preference vote. And I'm encouraging people to go down a list of independents, to give the independents a chance of a new government from council level right through to council level to government.
Mm-hmm. And just, as I say, we'll tease this out as part of the debate, you're independent, but you're 100% redress candidate. Are you affiliated, Eamon, with any of the campaigns that are there, or it's just something you're really passionate about and you're making, you're describing yourself that...
My family home has defective blocks.
Yes.
We were on the old scheme. We were transferred to the enhanced scheme. We don't have the money like many other families. I'm involved along with the 16 homeowners in Donegal. We are taking a judicial review in the Irish courts. And if we
You're working along. This is I'm not saying it's solely Councillor McBurtie's initiative, yes. But you're part of that initiative. Yes. Okay, I understand. And we'll get through some of that as well. It's just for my and the listeners' benefits. Last but not least, our first Fine Gael rep of the debate so far, Peter McLaughlin. Good morning to you. Explain why you believe people should give you a punt.
My name is Peter McLaughlin. I'm the Fine Gael candidate. I represent Buncrana. I represent South Inishowen. My plan is to represent Buncrana, South Inishowen, and Donegal in that order. I've served Buncrana Town Council from 1992 to 2014. I've been mayor on several occasions, and my aims are to protect Buncrana's position as a premier town in Inishowen. I've seen a downgrading of services in Buncrana. As a homeowner with the defective blocks, I'm only too aware of the struggles that we are all, the thousands of us are all facing. I'm annoyed about the fact that countless amount of children are leaving Buncrana, leaving Inishowen to go into swimming pools in Derry when we have a swimming pool in Buncrana, and that is an issue. My concern, why should you vote for me? The reason you should vote for me, in my opinion, we are facing a different election this year. Normally you have an election and you lose one councillor, maybe a new councillor comes along, but this time's different. This time we're losing two councillors have stepped down, which has created a vacuum. A vacuum that's nearly 60 years of experience lost. 60 years of people that Nicholas and Rena have been fighting for Buncrana, and that is lost. My experience in Buncrana Town Council, I feel that would sort of partially redress the balance of that lack of representation.
You plug the experience gap. That
yes,
would be your view. Okay.
I plug the experience gap. Yes.
Now, I mean, running through, we're going to get through to the issues. I mean, housing, right, is there, and then underneath housing, we have defective concrete. We have concerns about then availability of property, and a number of you also have then expressed concerns about the amount of people that have come into the county and tying up properties. So that will be our start point, I think, and we'll get through everything as much as possible. But we have to start with housing because it's the biggest show in town. I'll start anti-clockwise, I suppose, at this point. Kim McMenamin, is it housing generally, or is it the fact that you are concerned that there's too many people coming in? What's your?
Well, it's the nature of the people coming in. Like why? Like for instance, like I organised and stopped 66 single men getting into Walker's Lane beside a library and a school. Three schools. And I got great support for doing that. And the reason I did it was because I thought it was dangerous because 66%, over 60% are unvetted. So we don't know their background. We don't know if they're criminals. We just don't know that. We don't know anything about them. And I always say if you put 66 men from Dublin, from any housing estate, and shove them into a building and warehouse them for profit, because that's what's going on. People are benefiting. This has become an industry. So immigration is now an industry and people are making millions.
So what
Flanagan
do you want
made
to happen? What do you want to happen now then? You know, and I really want the listeners to know sort of how you feel you could affect change if elected. So you go into the council. How do you hope that your role there might impact on some of the concerns you've been highlighting?
Well, I think the concerns that I'm highlighting will make people aware of what's going on at a national level and how it's impacting them locally. Regarding the housing issue again, so there's no rentals, there's no council houses, but the government can find accommodation for 250,000 people like that, but the Irish can't get housed and they've got to leave. So there is discrimination against
people, Kim. The majority of those people not in sort of grouped accommodation that might not be suitable for the Irish homeless, like say for instance on the super prison, that's going to become tented accommodation. I mean, that's not really the solution to the Irish and inverted commas housing crisis.
Doesn't it look really bad when people are coming in and they're put on the street in tents? And they're put into like disused factories and they're not being properly looked after. Now they get 38.80 a week and they're rammed in there. There's like, what are they going to do for employment? There's no employment. As Peter said, there's no leisure centre. There's nothing for these people. So they're coming into a country that's kind of in difficulty. Mm. We are in difficulty financially.
So would you be of the view that sorry, Kim, I beg your pardon. I genuinely didn't mean to talk over
you.
Well, calm down. We're only just starting, Kim.
Just kidding.
No, it's just
well.
Getting
just
to
kidding.
I know that. It's just to get to the point. So then in terms of a national policy, what do you endorse? Is it no more in?
Well, I think control it a bit better. Have sensible immigration. You know, make sure people are totally vetted. And there are people coming in who are vetted. You know, there's doctors coming in, there's nurses coming in, and they have their papers with them and they're properly vetted. But like this thing where they're coming in on planes and they're destroying their passports on the planes, and I have that first-hand knowledge of that from a guy who works in Dublin Airport, and they have to keep clearing the toilets and stuff with the paperwork.
Okay.
So it's unreal what's going on. Yeah. And it just doesn't seem fair on the Irish
people. We'll come back to you. Yeah. Okay. And don't let me speak over you, Kim. You're a big fella. I think you could take me, right?
Yeah,
so don't feel hard done by, right?
We've crossed swords before.
No, I haven't. You've crossed swords with me, not me with you. Come here. Fionnán Bradley, what's your view?
No, just to take up from where Kim left off there about people destroying documents and passports and the like, Section 11 of the Immigration Act 2004 already states that it's a criminal offence for anybody to come into this country over the age of 16 without a passport or without valid documentation.
But they still have to be processed, do they not?
Oh, of course, but the point I was going to make
So my point is there's no jeopardy in destroying your passport on a plane?
No, but if anybody is doing it, it is illegal. Mm. And anybody who does do that definitely should have the full rigours of the law applied to them. That's, you know, just to take up on Kim's point there. But you'd asked initially about housing. So myself and my wife got married about 18 months ago, and I know firsthand the struggles of trying to find anywhere to live, because we had searched for quite a while and could find nowhere to either rent or to buy. But there has been progress. Now, and it is slow, and I think people's frustration comes from the fact that people aren't seeing progress happening quick enough. And as a state, we're not building enough houses. I would be the first to say that because of my lived experience. We just are not building enough private housing, social housing, rental housing. We're just not building it. But progress has been made. In the first quarter of this year, we had 30,128 commencement orders.
Mm. Not many in Buncrana, though.
Well, that's a 204% increase nationally. Mm-hmm. And there were 530 in Donegal. 330 of those commencement orders were in the month of April alone. And there is progress in Buncrana. Mm-hmm. There is a plan.
Should be worth noting, actually, by the way, I don't know how much they skew the figures, but the derelict property grants are actually being included as commencements as well. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see how that's going to look very good for the figures, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's delivering new housing as such.
No, and I have a vested interest in that because the house that I now live in, I applied for and obtained and got the derelict housing grant and was very thankful to get it. And it is a very good grant to be able to apply for, but it has a huge flaw in that you have to pay all of the money up front, which is a huge pressure on young couples like myself and my wife and others our age, because you're saving for a deposit for a house, you're paying your legal fees and your stamp duties and all the other costs associated with buying a home, plus you have to pay this money to have the works carried out up front, you know. Yeah. So in that sense the scheme must change.
Jack Murray of Sinn Féin, as I say, I'm working around here. You know, we will separate out the defective concrete, but I don't mind it being mentioned, but it's almost separate to really the conversation Kim triggered there about, you know, the concerns in the local communities about large groups of men coming into the area. And then, of course, to even the government themselves admitting themselves that the amount of people coming into this country is actually going to be double their own estimates. And then there seems to be, and this is why you're here to correct me if I'm wrong, some sort of confusion as to what Sinn Féin's policy actually really is in this regard. So it is a national issue, but it's a very local issue as well.
No, it is. And look, anybody to say that there's not concern in the local community would be lying. Look, there's massive concern about how this has been handled. It's been shambolic. The likes of the lack of consultation, bringing people in at night has obviously caused concern. There's been no, moves to address doctor spaces, school spaces, and that has caused legitimate concerns within the local community. Sinn Féin's position is what we want is an efficient, enforced and fair immigration system. Those that are fleeing war and genuinely fleeing war.
What would you do about those coming across the border from Northern Ireland into the Republic?
Well, that's going to have to address that source. So if somebody is applying for asylum, regardless where they've come from, they're going to have to be processed. Like that, and passport or not, they're going to have to be processed. And
in the Republic?
Yeah.
Would you make any attempt to stop them crossing the border?
Well, you try and negotiate with the British government.
That's not going to happen.
It's not. Well, then we're going to have to process
them. Them crossing the border is the success of the Rwanda plan. That's fantastic for them.
Yeah, and that's going to need to be done. That's going to be not negotiated in Lifford.
So is there a plan? No, it isn't. But at the end of the day, these are the national, local issues, right? And people would be interested to know what your stance is on something that's so emotive.
Of course.
How does Sinn Féin propose to stop the flow of migrants through the north into the Republic. Let them come and then process them in Dublin.
Sinn Féin's view would have to negotiate with the British government. Whether or not that can be successful is for another day. It's certainly not going to be dealt with in Donegal County Council, but that's where we'd be negotiating. We want to get into government. So we can
The way I see the connection, correct me if I'm wrong, there are local concerns here. Yeah. They're made representations to local elected representatives.
Yeah.
Local elected representatives are part of a greater party or independent, and then they can make those representations to the local tiddy, and you would hope that feeds into government. So just as what I would see is the pathway from a national issue down local and back up the way. Yeah. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, just on that, like, there's very limited consultation that happens locally with the council. I would have expressed my concerns on your own radio show a number of times about the way this has been handled. The government, their consultation with Donegal County Council is disrespectful, at least. They normally would send an email, if they're identifying a site, they would send an email to member staff in the council, ask, is the likes of Buncrana suitable? Does it have enough, the likes of doctor spaces, school spaces?
You kept that quiet, Jim. No harm to you, like, you kept it quiet. You, Rena Donaghy, Nicholas Crossan, and I seen the emails you knew 2-3 days before
I'll come back on that.
I had to organise at the last minute and stop those single men because you, Jack Murray, did not consult with the people. Like you're saying,
I'm happy you're doing a U-turn.
Kim, you made your point there. So you had the information, you didn't make it available to the public.
Right, I'll just say categorically, that is untrue. Now, Kim is very, very loose with the truth. He said some very emotional...
No, here, just Kim. One second, Kim, please, and I'll give you a chance
very
to
loose
reply.
With the truth. And to the extent there was protests in the car park, and I've heard there was threatening things said about me because of the information. When Kim was standing there with his megaphone putting out false face.
And
it's a dangerous and volatile path that he had tried to create, and I think that needs to be stood down. It stood down. Really? Right?
Do you think that maybe, Kim, that some of the, you know, the victory or the rhetoric might have been a little bit strong, in that, you know, it's such an emotive issue that maybe, you know, community leaders, I presume you're seen by some as a community leader, there's a responsibility on you in the language.
My responsibility, look, I have 9 grandchildren who use Walker's Lane, right? Not them all, but they eventually will be. And that is on safety, put 66 single men in there. And Jack Murray was asked to come out by a person who actually votes him, by a well-known Republican family, and he refused to do so because one person in that group might have said something, I don't know, what he deems as racist or whatever. I'm not loose with the truth. In fact, if people want to message in here and back up what I said, please do so.
Okay, Jack, give me an example. Respond, and then I want to bring others in as well.
There was a very, very dangerous and toxic situation.
Dangerous.
Kim, if you let him make his point, please. Getting yourself excited.
Calm down.
I'm not excited.
So I was asked to go meet with people, and I had no problem with meeting residents, concerned residents. I was on the radio highlighting my concerns, giving every bit of information that I could through your own platform. I was asked to come down and share a platform with Kim, which I am not willing to do. Tell you now, if you let me answer, Kim. A number of months before that, Kim had posted a picture of a man in a turban and questioned whether or not he was a paedophile. I felt that was racist in its agenda, and I was not going to stand there with him. The same man has posted on social media saying that this is an attempt to water down the races of Europe. I'm not going to stand and share a platform with somebody who had an issue that rhetoric. Because I will never, ever condone or enhance or put forward any form of a racist agenda.
So this is...
I'm here to debate you.
Controlled environment. Because votes are going against you, that's why.
We'll see, and we'll see in the 7th.
Okay, listen, we'll come back to that.
Can I reply to that?
I thought he was replying to you, but briefly, I want to let everyone have a fair crack.
Okay, so Jack is backtracking. Sinn Féin are backtracking. The U-turn and flip-flop, and no one knows where they stand anymore.
Okay.
So how can anyone take anything serious that he says, when I know for a fact that he said he wouldn't turn it because there was one or two people in the crowd? My God, like, really? Is that what you're basing your bias against
me on?
Yeah,
but we're all living
in the same...
Just to be clear again, no, I said I wasn't sharing a platform with Kim and endorse...
I think what he references may be the replacement theory and the implication that
it's an attempt to water down the races of Europe, as you've posted on...
I believe the Irish people are being pushed aside and they're not being looked after.
Do you think there's a
that's what I believe.
Kim, do you believe there is a replacement agenda?
I believe that there is an agenda to bring in as many people into this country as they can, for whatever reason they believe. Now, I don't believe it's right, because I believe, look, you fix our own problems at home first before you influx.
Right, okay. Listen, we thousands can get into people, that a little bit more. I just want to make sure everyone gets a say too. And Liam Mulligan of the N2 party, failure in housing migration is on your list as well of concerns. So it's a topic that we can't nor should we escape from.
You can't escape from it. But there has been an attempt by the bulk of the main parties to escape from it up until Pather dragged the information after multiple attempts to force the bureaucrats to give us the information of the numbers of people that were coming in and destroying their passports, the numbers of people that were coming across the border, the numbers of people that were not being deported. This was not an acceptable topic of conversation among our media and thing. We were talking about this, the problems locally, but we weren't talking about why they were happening. And before Easter, an anonymous government spokesman effectively charged Pather Tobin with racism, with effectively what Helen McEntee started to talk about 3 weeks after Easter. You know, this is the problem, that they've been unwilling to discuss it. And we need to discuss real problems, all the problems. We had the fantasy carry on in the referendums, and the people, especially the people of Donegal, went with facts and common sense, and people were delivering us nonsense. We have to talk about this issue, and we have to talk about other real issues that are affecting people. Ireland shouldn't be full, but it has the feel and the look of being full.
Do you mean in terms of numbers or services? Because, you know, if you go back to 1841, we have half the population in Donegal that we had then. So just when we talk about being full, I presume you're not actually talking about, you know, persons per square kilometre.
No, obviously not. But do you want people living out on 10 acres of Glenveagh land, out on the empty valley out there? That's when we had 8 million in the country. It's a silly comparison. At the same time, as an industrial country, we had have the potential to have more. Mm. But how we approach
it... Just one thing, I don't want to be defensive here. It's a silly... We had houses for 8 million people. Were they living in tents? Or?
They were living in bothies. They were living in shacks thrown over holes in the ground in many cases. Yeah. Even up to the 1870s and the 1880s, you can actually get pictures, photographs of the type of...
So 4 million odd people were living in that type of accommodation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not 4 million odd, but a proportion of the population.
So, of course, as much as a proportion of the population is now living in tents and on other people's couches and stuff. So what, just to clarify, when you say it's full, it is services
full.
And resources?
We need services and resources and houses. And we should have had the houses if we hadn't had a badly managed boom and a badly managed bust. We should have had the houses. No one is addressing. There was an admission actually in the Irish Times yesterday. The affordable housing, we need to actually cut the cost of building a house, not more subsidies. And there was effectively an admission that nobody in the industry and finance has any interest in cutting the cost of building a house. And that is the sort of structural change we need. We need to resource, and we will find this again and again in other subjects, the failure to resource the jobs that the government has to do. I know for a fact from the refugee applications over 20 years ago that there was a recognition of a need for more resources to process people quickly. The provision, direct provision, is not a problem if people are only in direct provision for 3 months and then are either let in on the basis that they have a valid case or immediately deported on the basis that they don't have a valid case.
I'll come back to you in relation to that. Again, Eamon McGee, Independent, one of the issues of great concern to you, and you referenced it in your introduction, is the impact of impact of immigration, fear. People are scared, you say?
Well,
move forward just a little for me, Eamon, sorry.
Well, the influx of refugees have certainly put a huge pressure on our services, that we're already at breaking point, such as social housing. Like, we must genuinely help the genuine refugee, but our asylum system has basically been abused. We all know that. The issue of single men and busloads being shipped into communities and temporary accommodation late at night, especially those who are undocumented, must be stopped. This is certainly causing our communities great distress and worry. That's a fact. Now, the immigration laws in Ireland must be overhauled and tightened so that our communities can once again feel safe. I hope we all agree on that. The burden like put on our services, such as health, mental health, education, local government and more, is severely impacting on social services. All the services are all at breaking point. We all have to agree at that. So what can we do to be treated equally? We're at the back of the pile of everything. Now, it's not fair. It's not fair. Treat us equally. I'm not a politician. I'm standing because I'm a window cleaner. I hear the problems. I hear people carrying people that have disabilities, carrying their teenage kids up and down the stairs, but we can't afford to give them a wet room and a bedroom down the bottom of the house because they can't afford it. There's only a grant for 30,000, while people are being for 60. We have other things like people being at the back of the line again.
And Eamon, do you mind if I put it to you, Eamon, that, and by the way, I'm just trying to tease out conversations here, not push any agenda or particular point of view, but let's say, for instance, we're told we're a very wealthy country, massive surplus, we're told we're at full employment, okay? We shouldn't have a situation where children aren't getting the supports that they need, that we don't have wet rooms, as you talk of. The real life stories that we all know, right?
Yes.
But none of these problems would necessarily go away if we took less people in, if you know what I mean. Is it not about how resources are spent? And
correct.
It should be the government you're going after refugees?
It's a way our government is spending the money. They're not putting the Irish people first. We've got people that has got severe autism. They have to wait 2 years for an appointment because, look, immigration coming in, they can't speak English, so they're getting it before our children. Now, not only that, that leaves our children 2 years, you know, going behind where they really need it right away. Even in Buncrana, they advertised for a speech therapist. They couldn't take the job up because there was no accommodation. This is the reality. This is facts. Because there was no accommodation available. There needs to be more done for the local people. And at the minute, every service that we are left behind. Look, we only have to look at old people. You know, where are people going to go? We closed down our old people's homes during the last recession. All of a sudden, we find the money. We can fill them up with immigrants. You know, we know nothing about them. We don't. There's only a certain amount of immigrants that we can take on to our country and to our country. Let's be fair.
Okay.
We've got to look after our own people first. And if we have money, which I believe that, you know, I don't know where the money's coming from. As you says,
it's
we
corporation
have
corporation tax, really. If the truth is told,
yes. And not only that, we have 159,000 people and around that amount that is receiving social welfare. The age group is males between 18 and 44. Now, why do we need inward migration? We don't need it. We have people in Ireland can do the jobs that nobody wants. We just have to change the way and encourage families to, you know, give better deals for families to encourage them to go back to work.
I get you.
Or
okay.
Single people.
Well, many of those people could be carers or have a disability, but I take your point. Peter McLaughlin, of Fine Gael. We'll just stick on this issue, if you like, because then we have to take a break. We might have a quick roundup on that before 11 and then try and get through some other stuff as well. But the concerns you've heard from many of our guests, everyone accepts the concerns are there. Obviously, some people use different language to sort of express their feelings about it.
Yeah, well, I would accept them that those problems are there. It's nearly like the perfect storm. And in Inishowen, we've got mica, which means there's no houses. Houses are collapsing and they're looking for houses and they can't get access to them. In relation to jobs, people looking for jobs, or they won't come here because they can't get a house or get accommodation. And what can be done? The funny thing about it is, not 35 kilometres from here, there's a development. They're talking about over 3,000 houses being built just over the border. And I was talking to a young man 2 days ago. He's working, his wife's self-employed, and he's going to the bank and he's looking for funding for a self-build and he can't get it. There's something wrong. The banks are just as culpable as everybody else. The access to funding, in order to build houses is a massive problem as well, and that's something that has to be addressed.
Yeah, those rules though were brought in though because the banks were overlending, and you've seen the mess that got us into.
Yes, those rules, and you just quoted a figure there, how well this country was. We were told how well this country was doing before the recession. There's no problem, we're going to have a soft landing, it'll be a soft recession. And what happened? The country was decimated, was destroyed.
Would you like to see your party doing more to address the issues that, because I mean everyone around the table here can sort of point to some solutions, but we don't really, some might say, see that action on a national level.
Well, I'd like,
why not?
Of course, I would like to see Fine Gael doing more for it, but it's not just an Irish problem, it's in England as well. And when you talk about immigration, it's maybe the incentives to come. They were trying to get to, they wanted to get to England, now there's a threat, so the Rwanda issue, so now they're looking to come to Ireland because there's still the same incentives, and there's no issue in relation to destroy a passport. That's about it.
Okay, I'm going to take a break. Finish your point there.
I say, if you travel, if you're going into a country and your passport is damaged or destroyed, the airline is responsible for taking you back. The airline is fined for if they don't take you back.
Mm. Well, so, there's talk of toughening up those laws. I just want to give you another minute if you want it, Finan, because your time was little less than everybody else's. If there's anything you want to add on that issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the immigration issue particularly, like it is greatly mentioned at the doors when you're out canvassing. But
is it the number one?
It would be hard to say it's the number one. It's one of a number of big issues, along with housing and defective concrete blocks. But where it's different, I think, to the other issues is it's become very, very heated and very toxic. And I don't think anybody serves to gain from that. I think we do all need to work together, all of the councillors that are elected, to do what little, by the way, they will be able to do about immigration. The government and the opposition, we do all have to work together to try and get a handle on this issue, because we are living in unprecedented times. We have war in Gaza and Israel. We have war in Ukraine. And in the course of the immigration part of this debate, nobody has mentioned climate immigrants. And with climate change and one thing or another, there's a strong chance that millions of people are going to be displaced from their homes in the next number of decades in that. But just to pick up on the health issue, finally, we talk about health and we talk about immigrants being a strain on the health service. If you walk into Letterkenny Hospital, to use an example, there's a strong chance that quite a number of the staff...
We're close on 50% across the health service.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because my wife had our first baby back in November, and I can definitely say at least half of the staff that we encountered in the maternity ward were immigrants.
Mm. Okay, you know? Well, listen, I know others want to come back to this, but I do have to pay the electricity bills. Huge amount of you texting in, listening in and watching our stream online. Our guests today are Finan Bradley, Jack Murray, Liam Mulligan, Kim McMenamin, Eamon McGee, Peter McLaughlin. We have a full hour with our guests on the race, so stay right where you are. I'm sure a couple chomping at the bit to get in, but we do have to take a short break for the news. So bear with me. I just kind of messed up the brakes a little bit there. So we do have to take a quick break for the news. Keep your texts and comments coming into us, by the way, on 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp and text. So the last hour of the show completely dedicated to our panel of candidates. They are seeking your vote to take one of the five seats in the Bunkrana area. Back after the news at 11.